Greetings, my friends. I'm Doc Coleman, and I'll be your host for this episode of the Balticon 47 Wrap-Up, brought to you by Balticon and Swimming Cat Studios. In today's episode, we'll be looking at one of the most popular and versatile content management platforms available on the web. If you're a blogger, a podcaster, a graphic artist, odds are you've considered using this at one time or another. I am, of course, talking about WordPress. Our panel is WordPress 101, and it was recorded on May 26th at 6 p.m. Pamela Gay is our moderator for this examination of all things WordPress, with Allison Gamblin, Tim Dodge, Nuchis, and myself filling out the panel. No matter if you're hosting your own instance, or if you're using WordPress.com to host your site, WordPress puts a lot of power in your hands. This panel tries to outline how to approach WordPress for the novice, although sometimes we do accidentally go down a bit of a technical rabbit hole. We discuss securing your site from those who would bend it to their own nefarious ends, the power and the dangers of using plugins, how to customize the look of your site with free or premium themes, the difference between a framework and a theme, creating posts and pages, and some of the more useful plugins like Jetpack, Google Analytics, PodPress, or PowerPress, and others. The great thing about WordPress is that you can experiment and find new ways to display your content to your audience. It may seem a little daunting at first, but the learning curve isn't that steep. There are a number of questions from the audience on this panel, and we've done the best we can to make the audience questions audible. We're sorry if you're still having trouble understanding the questions. Enjoy!
I welcome all of you to WordPress 101. In this panel, we are going to introduce you to the basic things everyone using WordPress needs to know. And I'm going to start off by having our group of panelists introduce themselves, say who their hosting provider is, because I know that's a relevant piece of information we all argue over bitterly. And how long have you been using WordPress as the centerpiece of your life, I guess?
That's a good question.
Doc?
I'm Doc Coleman, and I run a multi-site WordPress site. My hosting is through iamhosted.com.
I'm sorry.
Not to
As I said, we argue bitterly.
Iamhost.com, which is the premier porn website service provider. Now, this is a different company. Let's see. I moved to WordPress sometime in, I guess, early 2011.
Okay.
And I'm pretty much done everything self-taught by learning from what other people have done on their WordPress sites.
I am Nuchis, and I have many blogs and WordPresses and hosts. Nimlas.org is hosted via HostGator, and I've been doing that. I'm trying to remember when I first installed WordPress. I'm thinking it was around 2007, 2008, but I also set up and manage WordPress for other people, so I have used other hosts up to and including but not limiting 1&1, HostGator, GoDaddy.
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
We forgive you.
And what is it? Host Rocket, I believe the name is. I also manage chsrfm.ca, which is a website for a terrestrial radio station in Canada. It's a campus and community radio station, and for that, it is very important that we have a Canadian-hosted web host, and we are using IXO Host, and sadly, that for us. We are currently in the sticky wicket of we're so grandfathered in, they actually don't even have support for our plan. And they're constantly trying to give us limits that our contract says we don't have. And, yeah, so I'm managing that. And we've got something like 12 different podcasts going out of that one WordPress. And I make it easy for people that don't even know how to use Word.
Go ahead.
I'm Tim Dodge, and I host a biweekly podcast titled The Geek Side of Life, which is an exploration of geek culture, one podcast at a time. And I also have a blog called If My Thought Dreams Could Be Seen. Both of them are hosted with Bluehost.com, and I've been using WordPress, I want to say, since late 2008, early 2009.
My name is Allison Gamblin. I'm a WordPress consultant, and I do a lot of contract work. I've worked with government contractors. I've worked with self-publishers. I've done multi-author sites, and I've done single-person sites and business sites, so I've done the whole gamut. I've used I'm Hosted and left for various horror story reasons. I got started in blogging in 2001. I went pro in 2008, and really that's where I first came into contact with the backside of WordPress. And walked away from .com WordPress to .org. I have self-hosted on a personal server. I have used remote servers. I'm Hosted was one of them. Bluehost was another. I've used a colleague's hosting service, and I am currently on WebHubHosting.com as my personal remote host.
So just to give a little bit more information, I've been doing WordPress since 2005, February of 2005. And I've hosted on Amazon Web Services, 1&1, and Media Temple, which I don't recommend. And so it sounds like we have a diversity of people who, for the most part, are starting from the scratch with your own installation, where you're downloading the software from WordPress.org, you're installing it on your own managed system. The first thing that I know all of us do is try and make that sucker look our own. So in this WordPress 101 setting, how would you tell someone who's new to this to define the look, feel, and brand of their WordPress site?
Actually, I don't.
You don't?
No, my first step is security, but then I'm paranoid.
Yes. Sorry. So okay, let's talk about locking that bad boy down. What are the key steps?
.htaccess is your most powerful utility for that.
Hold on, defining terms.
Okay, .htaccess is what we call a hidden file, as in if you are using a file transfer protocol or FTP utility, and you look into the directory in which your site is, if you haven't forced it to show hidden files, your .htaccess file will not be visible to you, even if you are accessing it from the server side.
Now, what does .htaccess? Okay.
The simplest version is you go into your root folder using your FTP utility.
Breaking this down, so putting on my computer science professor hat, I teach that as well as astronomy. So on your computer, you can download a variety of pieces of software that allow you to look onto the hard drive of your server. So just like you might double click on the computer icon on your desktop on a Windows system if you've enabled that, or your C drive, or on a Mac you've double clicked on the My Computer. With this software, you can go in and see what is on your web server. And what you initially see is only things that have names that start with letters. Don't ever start a file with a number that breaks things in unpredictable ways. It hides the .something files on servers. Most servers run on an operating system called either Linux or, if you're super old school, and I'm not sure these are still around, Unix. So the .dot files are the files that are purposely hidden because they contain information that dictates how the computer works, how it does things. Now, the software she's talking about for FTP or SFTP, it's just the software that allows you to see the files on the computer and then with the nice, simple-to-use ones, fetches one of these programs, Windows.
FileZilla.
There's a whole bunch of these.
CyberDuck on the Mac.
Yeah. You double-click them, you type in your password,
FileZilla works on Macs, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And you can actually drag and drop files between your server and your local computer. So it's just like plugging in an external hard drive, except you don't need a cable.
Yes. I only recently started up a WordPress blog. I haven't seen anything that has it connecting to my computer.
Are you using WordPress.com to host your site? So we're talking about people who host off of WordPress.com. So you can escape this step of the trial.
Should we explain the difference?
Yes.
Since this is a 101.
Yeah.
Could you actually start by saying what WordPress is?
Yeah. Oh, so sorry. Okay, who has a good one sentence?
I'll give it a shot, and then you can correct me when I'm wrong. WordPress is a content management system. It is designed so that you can go in and you have a web interface where you can easily enter the text that you want to display, that you can upload video and sound files and easily control how all this stuff is organized and displayed on your website. And it does all of the headachey keeping track of all the files behind the scenes for you.
So if you're on Bluehost and you start up a script that installs WordPress for you, what are you getting?
So what Bluehost, do you want to answer? Go ahead.
Sure. Just because I'm very used to answering this to people who have no clue, that's one of my specialties with my business, is there's two sides of WordPress. There is WordPress.com, which is a free service, and it's a bare-bones, scaled-down version of this content management software. And it's, you know, a lot like Blogger, LiveJournal, things like that. You can set up a blog and you can do very minimal things. There is the entire program that you can download directly from WordPress.org or through Bluehost, through their one of their widgets in the control panel.
A lot of service providers will
Fantastico,
have some
all of those
installation
things.
Of WordPress.
It's very nice. And it just installs directly. What you're getting is you are getting a very fancy interface, makes everything look nice, and you can create pages, and you can create posts, and you can set up users so multiple people can all post to the same site, and you can design it to look exactly how you want it to. It can look like a blog, or it can look like a store website.
Or even a Tumblr.
It can even look like a Tumblr. It can look any way you want it to look, and nobody knows what's behind it, unless they know what to look for.
Yeah.
So if you've already started up on WordPress.com, are you able to port it over?
Yes. There are two things that you can do. WordPress.com has a hosting to give you the full program. I believe they charge more than what it would cost to do it yourself. Personally, last I checked.
Yeah.
They also offer a pay service to move things over for you, again, more than it would cost you to do yourself or find someone to help you out, maybe, depending if you know somebody who knows what they're doing or so forth like that. But it is very easy to move a WordPress.com to a WordPress.org as opposed to, say, a Blogger to a WordPress.org, although that is still doable. If you're not sure you want to go with the full program, WordPress.com, I do tell people, is a good place to start and play around.
So when you start with WordPress.com, it starts you off secure. It limits the numbers of things you can do. It's sort of like downloading the light version of an app. If you decide to go for the full-blown, I want my own URL, expletive, it's mine, I'm going to host it there, then one of the problems is you do have to handle your own security. And there are lots of black hat hackers out there who it's a fun game to find the flaws in WordPress, which is pretty much open source software. When you download it, you can see every line of code and hack it to do as you want. So they purposely find the vulnerabilities. Now, there are some key steps to locking your site down. Allison, do you want to go over some of these?
Well, let's just put it this way. There are ways you can do it yourself and get into the code and hack it, which we call hard coding. Or you can use plugins, and plugins basically hack the code for you or put in a library of code that WordPress calls on to do this same option. I like to recommend a plugin called Bulletproof, because Bulletproof will install the .htaccess file, and you don't need to understand what it is to get the benefits of it. And it will install a very secure .htaccess file in your root folder, your admin folder, all your very basic folders that hackers like to get into to really screw up your site. Plus, and this is a bonus, it will do a backup and then lock down your backup files. So basically what happens is if for some reason you are in there testing something and you decide, I want to see what happens when I do this to my .htaccess file, and you completely blow up the boat.
I do that periodically.
You can access through the Bulletproof, and you can have it restore everything to the previous versions because you have a solid backup. And this is a beautiful system. They have, and it's free, which is a bonus, but they do have a paid forward version, which I've never had to use. Honestly, I don't think you need to, because the free version is so awesome as far as security. There are firewall plugins on there called Firewall, and honestly, they're almost more trouble than they're worth. So if you lock it down with your .htaccess plugin, and there are many versions, but like I said, Bulletproof is my preferred choice, you can probably walk away feeling pretty safe. The other main security thing is your admin username should not be admin. And your password should not be password or 1234 or any of these
secret
things.
We all saw hackers, right?
Yes.
You know what not to do.
Yeah, those two main things, if you do those, you will be very far above the crowd.
How many of you are still going, I keep hearing this word .htaccess and it terrifies me? Okay, so to give the couple sentence definition, your .htaccess file is this little file that is sitting there, and when your web server software, which is called Apache, when your web server software goes, hey, what's hiding in this directory that I can show the world? It first looks at the .htaccess file, and the .htaccess file says, no, 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 you cannot do this. And so the .htaccess file does a number of things. It will tell Apache, this file here that you think is named Tim, we're going to display it to the world as named Hello. Or in reality, what it does is this file over here named index.php question mark ID equals 294 is actually named November 2013 Hello World. And so your .htaccess file sits there translating the gobbledygook files living in the directory to the world and telling the server what it is and isn't allowed to share and what it is and isn't allowed to write to. So think of .htaccess as the instruction manual to the guard on who is allowed to enter, and the guard respects the instructions well.
It can't do it any differently. It has to. I mean, it's incapable of ignoring it, which is why if you do get in there and try to do it yourself, you are very able to lock yourself out of your site. And I know this. I've done it.
Okay, so just to qualify, I run a hive of white hat hackers and programmers, and I'm the only one on my team who understands .htaccess. This is not an intro level thing. Do not touch .htaccess until you've been doing this for a year and you're willing to bork your site and cry.
It is fun if you've already expected you're going to do it, but up until then, it's just scary.
So other admin things that you guys would recommend in terms of how to make sure your site doesn't self-destruct in interesting ways?
Number one, and a lot of people don't seem to realize this, is make sure you find out how to access it via FTP. Because as many backup tools as there are, if something happens, you need to make sure you can get at those files. There are many hosts out there that may not just, they might just not give you the FTP. And currently I'm dealing with one of my clients' hosts. They upgraded their servers and they never refresh the FTP information. Then and the client couldn't get to her files. Luckily, I noticed as soon as it happened, because when I went to do my regular backup, I couldn't get in. And I said, you can't get in here. And they said, oh, yeah, we moved you to a new server. Well, that would have been nice of you to tell us. So you just connect to FTP, make a backup, save that on an external drive somewhere, and just backup, backup, backup is my big thing.
So to translate what she said into the most simplistic English, you use that magic software that makes your server look like an external hard drive. You grab all of the files off of your server, and you dump them onto an actual external hard drive. And this... Okay.
Thank you.
But don't just do your files. You have something called a database.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes,
if
that
you
as well.
And if you lose the external hard drive, you're not just losing. It's kind of like your database is to a book, kind of like your table of contents, in many ways. So if you lose the cover of your book, which is say the files you're grabbing and backing up. It's bad, but you can go find another cover and you can try to rebuild that. But if you lose the content of your book, which is your database, you really are starting from scratch. There is no way to recover from that.
And backing up your database, though, is a little more advanced than, I'd say, a 101. Yeah. But
how many of
Google's
you have no clue
friend?
What a database is? Okay, we're good on this one. Okay, wait, no, well, we had some hands go. How many of you don't know what a database is?
Actually, let me suggest a different question. What's the best backup tool that gets database and files so people don't have to know what the database is? Is there a handy backup tool?
In WordPress, there is a not entirely to be trusted export button. But the issue with the not entirely to be trusted export button is it doesn't generally export the settings for how your site looks. It outputs your user information, it outputs your content, your pages, your titles, the things in your pages. Yeah. So if you are a brave soul, you need to either find a better backup tool for exporting things or find a human who is fluent, who can run a command that has the misfortune of being called MySQL dump.
Now, there are plugins available that will let you do automatic backups of your database.
The one I use is currently having issues, though.
That's the power of plugins is you can find a solution that somebody else has come up with. The drawback of plugins is that all these solutions have to work together, and when one thing gets updated, sometimes it breaks other things.
So PHP admin or not to PHP admin?
That's
just the question.
Because I have used the plugins when I was a newbie, and I never realized that when it said 0 kilobytes in file, that meant that I was getting an empty database file. And so I would have all these, look, I'm so great, I'm backing up my site, it's awesome. And then when I actually lost my site and I tried to upload, you know, my backup, there was nothing in there.
Yeah.
But the backup was really fast.
Oh, the backup was incredibly, incredibly fast, yes. Yeah. And it emailed it to me, and it was great, and I didn't have to go into my PHP. And honestly, the only way I've ever had it work was going into my PHP and doing it.
Okay, so Netta, you want to explain what MyPHP is? MyPHP admin is?
MyPHP admin is another one of those tools that are in your control panel with your host. Again, I don't want to lose our crowd here.
Yeah.
It is more advanced. Google is your best friend. You can find step-by-step tutorials. I think we should get more on the 101 and give them some building blocks, and maybe they can come to an advanced WordPress course at their next con.
Yes.
Okay. So
the backup plugin that you said was having problems.
Yes.
Was
backup WP.
Yeah, WordPress database backup. That's happening. Okay.
But it may be fixed by now. Who knows? Yeah. Tim, did you have something to say? I saw it.
Well, I was just, we've been talking about plugins, and I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about by plugins.
Oh,
raise
right.
your hand
okay.
if you know what we're talking about.
Not every hand.
Okay, so yeah, we got to cover this.
So
I did say code library.
Yeah, you have WordPress is this gorgeous, no, it's actually not. It's this sarcastic piece of software that you can download. And when you install it, it does a bunch of neat things, but there's extra things that you'd like to do. And lots of programmers have figured out how to make the code do those neat things in a way that WordPress supports. So you go and they actually designed it so you can get them automatically. There's a button that says plugins, add new, and it says search for what you want. So say you want to add Twitter to your website. You can search the word Twitter, and it will bring up a whole list of different things you can install, tell you how many people have installed it, how well it has worked recently, and how many stars it has. And this allows you to find those new things, and there's a button that allows you, if your web host supports it, to just download it and install it on the spot. And so this is a way of going beyond the default settings to turn your bland WordPress site into a store, into something that's social media savvy, into something that has good statistics. All of these things plug together. And this really is a community of programmers working to do awesome things to allow you to share your content.
Mm-hmm. Just to give examples, the plugins I've got on my site are Twitter, obviously, both incoming and outgoing. So when I post something on Twitter, it automatically gets posted to my website. It'll show like the last five. Also, when I release a new post, it will automatically announce it to Twitter, and a tweet goes out telling people this new post is on my website. Come and take a look at it with a link and everything. I've got a plugin that is a spam blocker.
Akismet.
Yes.
Yes.
And
Akismet is one of many.
Akismet,
probably the most popular.
Correct me if I'm wrong, it used to come, there are two plugins that come automatically installed with WordPress. Hello Dolly, which is useless.
But amusing.
But amusing.
Amusing, yes.
It prints a lyric of the musical Hello Dolly in the top of your screen on the admin panel.
Yeah, so as you're creating a post, you can look up there and see that you're right back where you belong.
And the other is a Skimmit that is the best spam blocker. And what I like to tell people is, you can't just install the plug. Kismet, however it's spelled. I just read it. I can't pronounce it.
A-K-I-S-M-E-T.
You don't just have it activated. You actually have to register a key.
Yes.
And once that's done, it will work. And it will work.
Blocks thousands and thousands of
many early users think they have it running because they have it activated.
No.
And they miss the step. It's like turning it on. Often turning it on again. It's that one step that sounds so stupid, but you missed it.
Okay, so to summarize where we are now, we have either gone and set up a site on WordPress.com or downloaded the code from WordPress.org to install it on our self-hosted, or clicked a button on our host that installed it for us.
If you clicked a button on your host to install it, the first thing you want to do is
update it
because the host supported stuff is never, ever the latest version.
Yep.
It's like when you buy a new computer. It's not ready for prime time. So once you have WordPress, the next thing to do is lock it down. So as Allison said, make sure that your admin username is not admin. Your password is not any of the 100 most common passwords. And you've looked into things like firewall. You want to list the plugins you recommend again?
Honestly, the only security plugin that I use is the one I mentioned with the .ht access. Everything else I've had does not play well with others.
What's it called?
It's Bulletproof. It's called Bulletproof. A lot of the others, they do not necessarily play well, especially with something called a cache plugin, which you don't need to worry about, but it can really cause problems with that.
I hand code this stuff so that so you've locked down your site. The next thing you've done is you've made sure that the thing will back up on a ready basis. So you've figured out the FTP, you've figured out the database. You've blocked spam so that while you're setting it up, you're not getting spam. So you've done this by putting in the activation key for Akismet. So what's the next thing? I personally, at this point, become obsessive compulsive about design. Mm-hmm. So where's the place that y'all go at this point?
The theme library.
Yep.
Yeah. I always say don't look for themes by just Googling them. use the search tool within your WordPress, especially for new users, because there's a lot of free themes out there, and a lot of them have malware in them.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, a theme, just so you know, the theme is what makes your site look nice. Yeah. It'll come with pre-installed pictures, trees, designs, geographic shapes on it. There's one theme that's really cool. That's a coffee cup.
Yeah.
Slightly spilled, you know, so it looks like, you know, where I drink coffee.
It's a messy desk.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's all different. I mean, I don't know how many themes there are. There's tens of thousands.
There's thousands and thousands of plugins. There's thousands and thousands of themes. And one of the things about the themes is when you go and browse the themes, it'll give you a little mock-up of how it would look on your site.
A demo.
How your site would look on it. Mm-hmm. But you can't always judge what you're getting with the theme, because sometimes when you get that theme, this is exactly what it's going to look like because it has no other look. And sometimes this is an example of some of the settings that you can create, because this theme has all kinds of customizations inside where you can change colors, you can change background images, you can move the layout around. There's lots of different depths of complexity in your themes.
But WordPress does come with two pre-installed themes that are very good, very basic for a new user.
And I actually have nimloss.org with the 2011 theme as an example of how you can customize it and make it look your own with the very basic theme.
Yeah.
I like to use that as an example. Somebody had a comment?
Thoughts on free versus purchased themes.
That was going to be my exact question. You are awesome, sir.
Well, let's go to it then.
Okay.
I've never bought one, so I don't know.
At this point in my career, I only use premium.
I'm the same.
A newbie, then depending on what you're planning to do, you can probably get away with just using a free theme.
I argue for both. I've bought some themes, and my one problem is as technology changes, sometimes you might want an upgrade, and your theme may not upgrade with the new technology. And I also recently dealt with, I had a theme that I was using the light version of, but the designer had sold it to a bigger theme company.
No. Oh.
And suddenly things changed, and many of the premium users, their sites were not able to work for a good 2 weeks, which you think, it's only 2 weeks. No, that's serious money.
Yeah.
So it depends. It really depends on the theme. There's a lot of free themes you can get away with really
Can you recommend or not recommend specific theme vendors? I know I only go to two specific places.
I just have one short thing, so I'll go, and then Allison can have the longer amount of time. I use a theme called Thesis, and part of what drove me to Thesis, which is a premium theme, is
by who?
Do-it-yourself themes.
Yeah,
do-it-yourself,
DIY. I had a particular look and feel for my tech blog, the Nifty Tech blog, which I'd done up on Blogger. And when I moved it from Blogger to WordPress, I wanted to keep as much of that look and feel as I could. And I searched a long time to find a theme that would let me do that, and Thesis seemed to be the best fit. Now, it's a premium theme, and I believe it's it's between $150 and $200.
It starts at $88 right now.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. They've lowered the price since I was looking into it. But
basic is $87.
Okay. But I had more than one site, so I bought the developer version. But
and that's only 1 year of upgrade.
Yep.
I took that because that gave me the most control out of the box with easy controls. Now, what happened then is that was Thesis 1.8 something. They recently came out with Thesis 2.0, where they had exciting new capabilities to
bug your site.
to allow you to control the layout in ways you could never control it before. What they didn't tell you is when you upgrade to Thesis 2.0, you start with a blank slate. There is no formatting in there. You have to build all the formatting yourself. Now, they give you neat tools to do it, but you have to be kind of obsessive about building your own formatting, and I just haven't had time to deal with that. So I'm still using the old Thesis 1.8 themes.
I would point out what we're talking about is called a theme, but really the two things I'm about to discuss are frameworks. They add a code library. They're almost a piece of software in their own right, and unlike the themes that you would find in the theme library on WordPress, you cannot use these things without the code library that they come with. If you turn on the theme but you don't have the framework, it won't work. If you go to the theme library and you download and you install a theme from WordPress, it will work. And I know that's confusing, and that's a whole different level, but you need to understand that when we're talking framework, it's different from just a basic theme.
Okay, to break that down even further. Sorry. WordPress is the software that tells the computer this is what's going on the screen. The theme is the software that says the title is red 32-point font.
And use this picture.
Yeah. The framework is the software that says, okay, so you want to see Twitter. I'll go check Twitter every 10 minutes, find that, store it, and then make sure it gets displayed on the page in the right place. It's what says, okay, you've said in this settings file in the back end, you want everything to be Times New Roman. Okay, I'll go through and change everything in the theme to Times New Roman for you. So the theme is dumb. The theme is a flat out make the title red. The framework is find anything that is a title and make it red. So does that make sense where...
So the framework doesn't come with the theme?
Some themes are dumb and they simply sit there manually. The programmer who wrote the theme manually said, this title will be red, manually said, this title will be blue, hand-coded each page to look in a specific way and interact with WordPress. A framework on the fly creates the theme. So a framework is like having a manager there saying, okay, we know we got WordPress. We want to make all the titles red. This little piece of software, this little piece of software over here, go generate the theme. Oh, wait, user decided they now want blue. Okay, theme, we're changing all the titles to blue. Go. So when you get a theme, on the back end of WordPress, you see nothing interesting. When you get a framework on the back end of WordPress, you see a new little button that's often the name of your framework that will have a simple page that says, change the colors, change the fonts.
But that's something you buy.
They're not.
It can be.
They can be paid or they can be free.
And
you find both of them by searching. Premium ones you won't find by searching the theme libraries. But the free ones you can find by searching the free libraries like you'd find the dumb themes. And you really have to do your own homework into what's behind them to figure out whether you're looking at a dumb theme or an actual framework.
Go ahead.
Just for 101 users, for beginner users, don't worry so much about the premium themes, but play around with the free ones, see what you like, see what you don't like. And when you find that you're limited, then you can start thinking about premium. Because just because somebody wants you to pay for it doesn't mean it's great. Mm-hmm. And just because somebody wants you to pay for it doesn't mean it's bad. So you have to discover what it is that you actually need.
And if you're feeling thoroughly discouraged and terrified at this moment, I understand.
Yeah.
So what I tell the teachers I work with who have the same face you have at this moment of, oh, please, dear God, help me. There's a site that is, I believe, in South Africa called Woo Themes. They have, you don't like Woo Themes. Okay, I like Woo Themes. This is where we all have our personal, they've taken good care of me. They're.
I'm glad they really.
Yeah.
W-O-O.
They have both free and premium themes. You can subscribe to the premium. I think it's $15 a month, and you get free access to everything. Now, I am an advanced programmer, so when I decide I want some, they've never done anything that I haven't liked, but I'm also not daunted by anything my computer throws at me. But the teachers I've worked with have never complained. Now, that's been my experience, and I now want to hear your experience because your face is precious.
Let's put it this way. When I was a new user, I found this great theme called Original News, and it was free, and it was by Woo Themes. And I downloaded it, I installed it, and I started playing around with it. And I had already learned enough to be dangerous and to be able to kind of start to fix my site. So when I installed it, I still had some issues I couldn't resolve. So I went to get support. For Woo Themes, if you're using one of their free themes, they do not offer support. There is no way to change it.
Okay.
When I uninstalled this wonderful theme because I was just done, I was tired, it screwed up my database. Oh. I lost my site. So what I did was I recovered, I went on, I recreated my site and all this stuff. And then I created a post for how I had changed it and why I had left. I kid you not, up until last year when I finally took the post down, my blog post was the only open form of support for this theme that they had been offering since they put it into the theme library on WordPress. I lie not. I was the source of free support. They wanted $200 to talk to you on Woo Themes. And I'm sorry, but if you're offering a free theme and you can't even tell me how to change the color in the theme as part of your support, there's a problem.
Okay, and this is the difference is I actually used to write WordPress themes. So that's something where I wouldn't have even noticed that issue.
That's a 400 level.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So the thing my students use, and I'd love to hear how you guys feel about this one, is Elegant Themes.
I use them all the time for my clients.
Yeah. Okay, so Elegant Themes is there anyone who can say nary a bad thing about it? Okay, Elegant Themes, we have unanimous approval of.
My one thing is if you're trying to update the theme periodically, the creator will say, okay, I fixed this, you need to update the theme to get the newest software to fix a security issue or a utility issue. Yeah. Elegant Themes, you literally have to go to their site, download the theme file, and upload it to your site file, which... Some premium ones, they'll just, you click a button on your admin and it'll auto-do that for you, which is a lot easier, especially if you're a newbie user. And Elegant Themes, unfortunately, does not. I wish they would fix that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Elegant Themes also has some free ones in the actual directory.
Because
you're newbies, please, at least as you're learning how to use it, just use the directory. Yeah. I've seen so many malware sites, so many sites where people have downloaded themes.
Do not Google themes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's also some plugins that you can get to help check your themes to make sure everything's working properly. And again, this is exactly that theme authenticity checker. I have another one.
I brought up my show notes from this panel last year. So,
but there are things. Again, this is a 100 level. So let's move on.
Actually, I want to throw up one general suggestion. When you create your first WordPress instance, that's the instance that maps to your primary domain, mydomain.com.org, whatever. After you've got that installed and you've got that up, and go ahead and use the 2011, 2012, 2013, whatever the default theme is, go back to your WordPress installer, install another instance of WordPress in a subdomain. And here's the reason why. Because when you want to explore all these themes, if you go and download a theme and turn it on, boom, you've just changed the entire look of your site. So create a dummy subdomain that you never link to and throw another instance of WordPress in there. Anytime you want to experiment with something new, go to that one.
Okay, so
play
what,
with that one.
I'm going to translate that. Subdomain can mean two things depending on how you're set up. The complicated one that is not what he meant, but your host will ask you if this is what you meant, is I can go to I'm just going to make up an example. I could, for instance, go to sandbox.starstrider.com. I don't have Sandbox set up. And that would be a subdomain of Starstrider.com. I can also, as a subdomain, set up starstrider.com/sandbox. That's what he's talking about.
Yep.
Now, what you can do is there's two ways to do this. You can either install from scratch WordPress in both the starstrider.com/ and the starstrider.com/sandbox/. So two completely separate installs. That can get a little old over time. The other thing that WordPress now allows you to do is you can have two different instances using the same set of code. If you want to do that, just Google multi-user WordPress. And it's one line of code you have to add to one file, and it just goes. And this is what we do with CosmoQuest, where we have our main blog, we have an educator's blog, we have a planetarium user's blog. And it's great because we also have the blog no one knows exists and robots aren't allowed there to put it into Google Plus, which is where I try weird things when I want to add them.
It's usually called a development site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Development and production are the two professional words.
Well, you can do it as a separate facet of the same install. I recommend doing an actual separate install, even though it can be a bit of a headache trying to keep things up to date, because there are, as we said before, there are people who create malware and put it out there in the guise of a plugin or a theme or whatever. So if you don't know what this is and you want to find out if it's going to be safe for your site, you're better off doing it on a completely separate site.
That's
if
a good
you
point.
Just do it on a different instance of your same site, it can still ruin your entire
This is something I have to admit I'd never thought of because I do so much of my own coding. So thank you for bringing that up.
Better Sandbox still Google it before you install it.
Just to kind of kick it back to like the 101 level, okay, let's assume that I've got my, you know, WordPress.com site, which I've got a theme that I like, I want to upgrade to WordPress.org, right?
Yeah.
And not only do that, but then like, how do I go and find a host? How do I actually transfer my site, you know, my .com to my .org host?
So there are a whole myriad of sites that we use for hosting. So that's why I had everyone say what they use. So there, I'd honestly find a buddy nearby that uses something low price and use whatever your buddy uses so the two of you can commiserate. There isn't any one right answer on this. I like one-on-one. Other people hate one-on-one because the site you go to order one-on-one is as ugly as a site can be.
It's horrible. But the customer service is really nice.
Yeah. And I've been a member of 1&1 since the month they launched. And I've had my site go down once in all those years. Media Template goes down about every 4 months.
If you Google top web hosts, you're going to get a list of like top 10. There is one on there. It's called Dreamhost. You'll notice none of us
don't. I was hacked.
Ah.
By what claimed to be a Taliban group way back when in like 2005. And I had to file a report with the FBI. And Dreamhost had no support, no help, no nothing, wouldn't even respond to me.
Yeah, me, yeah.
And I left them so cold and so hard, and I'm with HostGator simply because they were the best option at the time, and my package is not one of their packages that they offer.
Yeah. DreamHost got very popular very fast because they undercut everybody else in the business. They didn't tell you is the reason they're undercutting is because they're cutting back on services compared to everybody else.
Yeah, you're getting what you pay for.
So Media Temple is very expensive, and they are very shiny looking on their website. I don't recommend them because they actually had their WordPress database system. Actually, they had their database system infiltrated. So everyone who had a WordPress site on the node of Media Temple that I was on, all of our sites were corrupted. And instead of just fixing it for us by running commands at the command line, all of us had to, from scratch, figure out how to fix our own websites. That's mean.
Yeah.
Were you saying one and one?
One. one-on-one would be very bad.
Don't one. The number one.
I wrote AND.
One.
Yeah.
And they do two kinds of hostings, Windows and Unix.
Get Unix.
Don't get Windows because you can't run a WordPress on Windows. That's for
special business stuff.
What's the name of that program that Windows had that they no longer support now?
Front page,
yes.
Okay.
I'm currently converting a lot of front pages to WordPress right now.
It's a fail page.
One had good support.
Yes.
And one of my clients, she knows how to use Facebook, and that's about it. And they were very helpful for her. Mm-hmm. And that was my example for their customer service. And if they can help her, they can help anyone.
There were a bunch of other hands. Yes.
All right. We've installed WordPress.
Yes.
We've locked it down.
Yes.
We have our theme. It's pretty. What's our next step? How do we make it do what we want?
You start writing.
Or create an audio file or something.
You start putting content in. Yeah.
And as you write content, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to end up with what I refer to as dead bug navigation. It's like someone took all of your ideas and squished them on somebody's windshield, and you're trying to navigate from the feet to the head through the dead body parts. So you will create content for about 6 months, realize you can't find any of your content, and you will reorganize it. That's normal. It's okay. Paulette, sorry.
Blog versus page.
Yes. Go ahead.
So that's actually what I was going to add in. Yeah, there's two things that you can do. You can create posts, and that's your blog, and you can create pages. And you can use both of these things for lots of different things on your site. The client that I talked about, who is very, very basic, her site looks like a complete storefront, and most of the tabs that when you go to her site and you say, oh, what are frequently asked questions? Oh, what are her prices? Oh, where is she located? What's the contact us? Those are all pages, and those, they stay there. They're just main information.
They're static.
Yeah, they are static. They never change.
Well, they change, but
you update them.
They're on the same page. Whereas a blog, you're going to have many posts. Think of your blog like your journal, and each post is a different page. And a page
or a
journal,
press
sorry.
Release feed.
Yeah, yeah. Things yeah. like that. Whereas I always say the page is like the cover. That cover stays. Depending on what you do, you have to decide, do I use a page or do I use a post? You know, some websites have these fancy sliders in the front. They show you, you know, what's hot and what's great. And generally they go to posts, but there is a plugin that will let you create a post that just points to a page. So you can interchange them, but they are quite different.
Is permalinks too high level?
Yes.
Yes.
No, moving on. It's okay. Yes, sir.
Have any of you ever used the plugin Jetpack for
Yes.
BuddyPress?
It slows your site down. It's cool. It's cool, and for a newbie user, it provides a lot of utilities.
Which one are you talking about, Jetpack or BuddyPress?
I've used them both. Yeah. They both slow your site down. Jetpack is good because it offers you a lot of things like finding people who are coming to your site and all these other things that hook into WordPress.com's offered code libraries. BuddyPress it basically allows you to have a community level kind of site that hooks into your personal site. So it gives you a forum for intents and purposes. BuddyPress is way above a newbie level's beginner.
Yes.
Don't use it.
No.
I actually recommend Jetpack for introductory users, though, because especially now, they've gotten it to the point where there are so many plugins that Jetpack can replace that it makes life easier. And because it's from WordPress,
it just works.
It talks better to social media sometimes. Yeah. There's this whole thing about ranking of posts. If you have a Facebook page and you automatically post from a service, that post will often come up lower because it's a service, not you actually typing it in. Typing it in is the best way to add a link to your page so it shows up in people's newsfeed. the second best from what I've seen so far, Facebook changes every day, has been Jetpack. It will slow your site a little bit, but for a 101 user, I do recommend it simply because you'll learn about what things do, and it can take care of a lot of
things. Can I just say, with Akismet and with Jetpack, when we say that you have to activate it, you need to have a WordPress.com account. Yes. It will give you a key.
Those are free.
Yeah, they're free. And it will walk you through how to do it if you don't have it, so you don't need to have all that here. But that key is what you have to input. So you need to have a WordPress.com account in order to activate both Jetpack and Akismet.
So I'm noticing that we're out of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to add one more piece of information while these four, I can count, people come up with parting thoughts. And my one last thought is, don't forget Google Analytics is the most powerful way of getting stats on your website. Install that while you're at it. With that, I'm going to let Tim go first because he sat here fairly quietly.
Well, once you get started with WordPress, there's like dozens of ways you can experiment with it to make your site look just the way you want to have it do exactly what you want to. If you are a podcaster like I am, there are podcasting plugins with a media player. So somebody
Blueberry
is a good example of that. PodPress is another, where you just click a button and it starts to play your audio file while somebody's on the web page. They don't even have to download it.
And it talks to iTunes.
Yes, it's very easy to set it up so that you can get something on the iTunes store. And it's very easy to embed code to show videos. So there's a lot of different things you can do with it. You just learn by experimenting. So, and don't be afraid to do that. Just have fun with it.
Me next? My parting words are, don't be scared. Play around. If you got to get something out right away,
pay someone.
Pay someone. Yeah, exactly. If you want to learn how to do this, learn, play with it, mess up, make mistakes, have fun with it. If I can get women in their 70s who barely know how to use Facebook, WordPress, you can use WordPress. If I can get teenage girls creating their own WordPress sites with only teaching them through Facebook messages, yes, because they don't use the phone, you can learn this. Okay, it sounds scary when we talk about it, but it's really not that scary. And the worst thing that happens if you screw up your site before you really launch it and go public is you have to delete it and start over.
That's called going Picasso by my team.
Nuke and repaint. My parting thought would be that when you first install Jetpack and turn it on and get it registered, there's going to be some things that it's going to turn on by default, but there's a lot of other things that aren't on by default. Don't turn those on until you need them, because everything you turn on is more code that has to be run through that slows things down again. If you don't need it, turn it off, keep it off until you need it.
Okay, I have my two parting thoughts are interactive with each other. One is, if you have plugins on your site that aren't being used, delete them. They're a security risk. And two, if your site is broken and it was working yesterday, 10 to 1, it's a plugin problem.
Yeah.
So deactivate your plugins and reactivate them one at a time and figure out which one is not playing well with others. And I guarantee you, for newbie users, if you're adding plugins, the problems you're going to find are maybe not necessarily one plugin. It could be two plugins that aren't allowing each other to work properly. So first rule for that is, if you're debugging your site, turn all your plugins off and then slowly reactivate.
So you've been a great audience. We are out of time. If you want to learn more about WordPress, I think you can ask any of us. And don't forget, there's a WordPress Codex filled with instructions. Enjoy the rest of Con. I have a turtle. I'm simply sharing my turtle with everybody.
I love your turtle.
My turtle is making me stupidly happy.